Sound of Play, we bring you an eclectic fortnightly mixtape of some of our and your favourite pieces from the many sublime and ridiculous video game soundtracks we've enjoyed and endured over the decades. Joining me, Leon Cox, in Sound of Play 24 is Jay Taylor.
Hello.
And that's it, just Jay, because this is a listener community request special. I realised as I was recording the David Housden show that we did recently, thanks again to David for joining us as a guest, that all these shows, all this time we've been saying, and we will definitely include a selection of your requests in every show, and then we didn't. So how can we make this up to you? Make it an all request special, our second of these. But unless you all remember to hop onto the forum at canarince.com/forum and request more tunes, it will be the last one of these because we're actually starting to run low. We need more requests. We want your requests, your favourite tunes, your quirky tunes, things of interest. Please do come post on the forum, share them with us, and we'll play them. We'll play them to our ever-increasing listenership on Sound of Play. Now, what you heard at the start there was a request by Pete here, and he says, an overused word, but just epic. When I started up Phantasy Star Online for the first time and connected to the World Wide Web to meet and play with people from around the world, it was just amazing. And the opening really summed this up. I don't know about you, Jay, but that certainly takes me back to exactly that feeling that Pete here describes when playing Phantasy Star Online back in the very, very early 2000s.
Well, yeah, I mean, I played the game myself, but I never got to play it online because that was still dial-up settings, wasn't it?
So you played it, you played just the solo.
Yeah,
literally. It's a bit of a grind, yeah. The old solo game, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Yeah. The magic really happened when you plugged your phone line, you unplugged your landline, plugged your Dreamcast 33K kilohertz modem into the wall, and raised bills of countless hundreds of pounds a penny a minute, wherever it was. It was an exciting thing, and that amazing piece of music known as The Whole New World by Hideaki Kobayashi and Fumie Kumitani, it did really somehow evoke that to me, that incredible epicness. Phantasy Star, the traditional RPGs on the Master System and Mega Drive are only games that I'd ever dabbled in. But I had to have this because obviously online gaming had already been around on the PC. But I don't know about you, but I found it quite, it was quite intimidating because it was technically complicated to get online. And the experience tended to be, back in those days, if you jumped online on Quake 3 or whatever, was just, you know, carnage. So this opened up a game where you played in co-op. This was like bringing my favorite couch co-op into an online scenario in this beautifully realized world by Sonic Team for Sega on the Dreamcast, which of course at that point outside of computers was capable of the most, you know, beautiful graphics in the home. This was pre-PS2 even, so it had the highest resolution graphics compared to the N64 and a PS1 at the time, and it really did feel like entering a new era of gaming, and I suppose it did pave the way, didn't it? But oh, I'm surprised, I'm sad that you never experienced the joy of playing online with people from all over the world.
No, I saved that until it was Rainbow Six was my first ever online game.
Yeah, killing for you.
But I mean, I'd agree with the co-op, actually. I prefer, even today, much prefer cooperative experiences than competitive. So.
Yeah, even when it's co-op versus, like in, say, something like The Last of Us multiplayer, where you've got a very tight team of four. Yeah. But yeah, things like Left 4 Dead as well, which you never really played, did you? That's another one. It's another one you missed out on.
No, I played the first one. Put some time in on that on the 360. I was still using a gold account at the time.
Yeah, good stuff. My mistake. All right. Thanks to Peter for that one. And Jay, next up.
All right, next we have Paps Fritters. I've been a fan of the WarioWare series from the beginning, and although it's definitely most known for its visuals and wacky design, I think the music is often overlooked in the series. The track that resonates with me is Body Rock from WarioWare DIY. Jimmy T dons his aerobic exercise outfit and works out while you go through his micro games, but it feels like you're working out with him. The cheesy lyrics, as well as the scratchy sound of the speakers on the DS, would give off the impression of actual old school 80s VHS exercise tape being popped into the VCR in my childhood days.
So that's known, I think, as, well, where I found it, it's known as Jimmy's Aerobics, and by Takaru Kanazaki and Kenichi Nishimaki. WarioWare DIY is the only game in the series that I think I haven't played, really, apart from the outlier that arrived on Wii U a little while back, which arguably isn't part of the WarioWare canon anyway. But yeah, that was the WarioWare DIY game where you could make your own micro games, which seems appropriate as we record this just a few days after Super Mario Maker's come out on Super Mario's 30th anniversary. Anyway, we talked all about the WarioWare series, really, but mainly we focused on the original GBA game, WarioWare Inc. Mega Micro Games, in issue 165. Of the Cane and Rinse podcast. Yes, the request there from Paps Fritters, he was actually talking about how much he enjoyed the way the music speeds up as you play, but we can't really share that one with you because it's covered in game sound effects and it'll drive you a little bit mad in isolation and goes on for ages. So that's your basic Jimmy tune there. Now something else topical from Dom's Beard, who is topical himself as Gears of War Ultimate Edition has just come out. He wants something from a recent game called Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Dom's Beard says, after the trailer, I have to put this in. It fits perfectly with the video and sounds like a cross between a Bond theme and an end credits song. Very Kojima and harps back to the Snake Eater song. Brilliant. So this is Quiet's theme.
In the sky.
So regardless of what you think of the representation of scantily clad slutty sniper's quiet in Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, that tune by Akihiro Honda is, I would say, yes, it is rather beautiful. The lyrics by Ludwig Forssell, slightly less beautiful, I would say, a little obvious. But a fine performance from Stephanie Dewston, who is the model and actor, motion captor and singer there for Quiet. So I own The Phantom Pain, but I haven't played it yet. Jay, we spent a considerable time before recording this podcast talking about how you're going with Metal Gear Solid 5. So you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of the best one of the best kinds of game you can ever get is the surprise purchase from your partner, I think. And this was what you got here. I remember pretty much every surprise game ever I've got from girlfriends.
The best kind, I think.
Yeah, it's such a buzz, isn't it? And like, yeah. They thought of you and spent all that money.
Well, the thing is, I was sat actually playing Dragon's Dogma at the time because I thought I wanted to finally get around to clocking Bitter Black Island. And I knew that everybody, even before this was the official launch day, even before then, people were already playing it on my friends list. And I thought, I need to stay off the PS4 because that's going to wind me up, seeing everybody on this game. And then I went on Dragon's Dogma, and then suddenly I heard this drop through the letterbox. I thought, that sounded loud. What was that? Went over, and there it was. And I was like, I knew as soon as I saw the box, it was like, oh, no. And yeah, it's just amazing.
Superb work from Kai there.
Permanent smile on my face for the next week and well, like last couple of weeks, really. I think.
And now she's completely fed up of it. Of course, wishes she'd never bought it for you, although it keeps you off the streets.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. We covered the entire Metal Gear series from the original games on the MSX all the way up to Metal Gear Solid 4: Guns of the Patriots. That was the latest game at the time. Between. Issues 23 and 49 of the Kane & Rince podcast, all of which are still available, of course, and someday, no doubt, we will do Ground Zeroes and The Phantom Pain.
Mm. As Peter said earlier, epic podcasts as well.
yeah. Before we were strict about our two-hour time limit, so a few of those are a bit longer. If you want something to accompany you on a long car journey or whatever, you can listen to our Metal Gear Solid shows. Back over to you for our next request in this all-listener special.
All right, next we have Ash. Do video games get any more lovable than Mr. Driller?
No. No, they don't.
It's charming characters, colourful blocks, satisfying sound effects and fast-paced gameplay make it an absolute joy to play. And the wildly imaginative and energetic soundtrack of Mr. Driller, Drill Land on the GameCube only makes the experience even more of a pleasure. I have no idea what the vocalists in this track are singing about, but when I hear it, I can't help but imagine a joyous celebration of video games themselves. Pull off a perfect descent through the depths of Drill Land while the song plays in the background, and I challenge you to do without a smile on your face. Oh,
With apologies for my pronunciation, it's Boku no Chikyu, Bokura no Chikyu by Masaru Shina, or Go Shina, as he's often known, a veteran composer of Namco. Well, I say veteran, he actually only arrived in 1998, just the year before the original Mr. Driller came out, and the Mr. Driller series ran for some years. He's also worked on Ace Combat and Tekken, and of course the God Eater series. I absolutely adore the music of Mr. Driller. I wrote a little article about some of it for Kane Rinse some time ago. If you search Mr. Driller, that's what will come up, because we haven't covered those games on the podcast yet. Mr. Driller Drill Land is a game sadly missing from my personal collection, although I've played all the other Mr. Driller games, because of, well, it only ever came out in Japan on the GameCube, and was a game that you couldn't really play with an import enabling disk because it would format your memory card every time. So my friend Pete, being such a big fan of Mr. Driller, when he went over to Japan, actually bought a spice-coloured Japan-only GameCube and a copy of Mr. Driller Drill Land just to play on that very machine. So, yeah, I'm quite a fan. It's I think it's a series that, well, it's got a charm, and I think it's sort of not that widely appreciated, especially as it's the descendant of a rather more famous Namco game, Dig Dug. But anyway, enough of this.
Spice-coloured GameCube. What colour is that then?
Spice is an orange colour.
That's the orange one, right. Yeah.
It's a sort of, I don't know, would you call it dirty orange?
Yeah, no, I know. I actually really like that colour as well.
It's cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm quite a fan of the your basic purple GameCube. And obviously they did black ones and silver ones and stuff, but the spice colour is very much Japanese only. So from one Japanese game to another, this one's by Innis, the rhythm action people mainly, and for Koei. And this is a request from the human sneeze, who is Papa Pishu. After listening to Sound of Play 14, I had to dive deeper into the Parappa the Rapper songs. Watching and listening to these old soundtracks sparked a nostalgic memory of playing Gitaru Man Lives on my PSP way back when. While the game is generally quite energetic and over the top, it takes a completely different shape on one of the levels where U1 has a moment with a girl named Kira, who bears a striking resemblance to his old flame, Pico. U1 plays this beautiful acoustic song called Legendary Theme that still, to this day, makes the hair on my arms stand up. Tomohiro Harada's The Legendary Theme, and that's the acoustic version. People who have played the wonderful Gitaru Man will know, of course, that there is a full-blown rock version of that in the final showdown at the end of the game. It's a wonderful thing indeed. The original game was of PS2, of course, before that PSP version. I heartily recommend people seek it out, especially if you still have a PS2 and can play the game through speakers. It's from the sort of the golden era of rhythm action games, and features, yeah, a whole bunch of tunes. It's a game we should definitely do a Kane and Rince podcast of someday. I would love to do that. I was pretty good at that game as well. the dub reggae shark that defeats most people, I could do without missing a single note. Oh, yes. Enough of me showing off. Over to Jay for track number 6.
All right, Solm. This one's from the Medal of Honor reboot from 2010. I've always loved Medal of Honor games from the PS1 right through to the latest one, Warfighter. I've been listening to this album for the last year and I'm still not bored of it. The composer is Ramin Djawadi, and the track I would like to nominate is called Watch Your Corners. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
So Ramin Djawadi there, since 2008. Well, he was on the Iron Man soundtrack. That was one of his. The first Iron Man movie. Pacific Rim as well. And he's currently working on Warcraft with Duncan Jones, which should be quite something. And in the world of TV, the Game of Thrones. Not the Game of Thrones. Oh, fans will want to kill me for that. Prison Break, Game of Thrones. And... Westworld coming up.
Oh, man, that Westworld series looks intriguing, to say the least.
It's based on the Michael Crichton. Yeah, good stuff. An interesting selection there. I never got past the first level of that game because I thought it was dull. But I know some people liked it. Isn't it always a way? But yeah, cool composition. Next up, we have the Sniper Gecko. And this is from a very recent game, one that I very much want to play but haven't got round to yet. Will it go to PlayStation Plus? Should I spend money on it? I think I definitely should. It looks beautiful. It looks sounds right up my alley, right down my street. And it's everybody's.
It literally is right down your street as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Made in Brighton, in the Chinese room, wherever that may be. Maybe I should just knock on their door and ask for a job. So the Sniper Gecko says, just hearing that opening first few seconds immediately takes me back to the game's opening sequence and all the feels that come with it. The feels and all the earth from the very talented Jessica Curry. Obviously, we haven't done Everybody's Gone to the Rapture on Kena Rinse just yet because it's very, very new. It's PS4 exclusive at this point. I suspect it's coming to PC. I think it is, in fact, later this year. So more people will get to play it. And what I would say is that we did cover Chinese Room's previous game, Dear Esther, back in issue 34. I was going to say 134, no, issue 34, along with the game Vessel, completely unrelated, but that was when we used to do two games in one podcast. Can you imagine such crazy ambition and tomfoolery as that? Yeah, we knocked that on the head after a while. But yes, thanks for that request, Sniper Gecko. Now, our penultimate track, this is a favourite of yours, Jay, so over to you.
Oh, yeah. So Beck says, I received Tearaway for Christmas as a surprise gift, best kind,
yeah,
and fell in love with its charm. My favourite track is The Orchards. Thank you.
So we covered Tearaway back on Cane and Rinse issue 138. And again, this is kind of topical because Tearaway Unfolded is out now in shops and on PSN. It's a mid-price game. I haven't heard, well, I saw a chart, an article about this week's charts or last week's charts, and I believe it had come in at number 33 or something. So compared to, say, Super Mario Maker's number 2 in the charts. So I think it's fair to say it probably isn't going to sell, you know, it's not the sort of game that's going to sell loads and loads on week one. But I think over time people will pick it up in sales. And yes, it's a Sony released game. So I think there's every chance that it'll end up coming to PS Plus. But it's nice that I think, when we talked about Tearaway, I know some people really, really loved it. And we talked about it on the podcast, and I liked it a lot, but I was slightly underwhelmed. But I am keen to play more in that world because partly because of the music, the way it looked and the way it sounded, and just having another set of Tearaway levels, and with the different mechanics that maybe playing it on the traditional controller will bring in. Are you going to get this at some point, Jack?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a mid-price game, so I'm kind of interested.
It's like 30 quid on PSN. You can probably get it cheaper in shops, you know, from Simply Games or Shop 2 or wherever. I don't know.
I'm definitely sold on this. I mean, at some point I will undoubtedly pick it up because I love the first. I love the original. And the idea of being able to play it on a bigger screen is enticing. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, go listen to the podcast because my thoughts are pretty much summed up on that. But, great game, great little game, great little sound, well, great soundtrack as well.
We had some correspondence with Kenny Young, didn't we, following our podcast?
That's right, yeah.
I'm not sure if he still listens. I don't know if he listens to Sound of Play. We've just used one of your tracks without your permission, Kenny. but we love it. Is that okay? And Brian D'Oliveira also worked on the soundtrack. To Tearaway. Really interesting stuff using instruments that you don't hear every day in a video game soundtrack. Now, before we conclude, as you've heard, once again, it's not just about what we like. In fact, it wasn't at all in this show. So please, please continue to venture over to our forum at canerinse.com where we need you. We need you to request your favorites. And we'll continue to include a selection of those in the playlist for, well, almost every show. We may have some more guests lined up where we'll be asking them to pick their favourites and their own compositions, but that one seemed to go down well, so hopefully you'll enjoy more of those. But spare us from our own indulgence by stopping us having like 3 or 4 picks each on a show and get yours crowbarred in there. We're genuinely running low, genuinely. Not to make us sound unpopular or anything, but maybe you think that your pick won't get picked if you post, but it probably would. So hit the thread up right now and get it requested. And also, we're still quite low on iTunes reviews for Sound of Play. Not so with the main podcast. We've got flipping loads. But for Sound of Play, it's a bit neglected. So again, if you subscribe on iTunes, which we love you to do, get on there and just write us a little review or at least leave us a rating out of 5 stars. We do appreciate it. So our final track, we could only put this one at the end because with no disrespect to David Hartley, who's kindly requested this, this may be one that you may want to skip. are you familiar with this, Jay, before I go into the spiel? You must have heard this, even though you're not a kind of cutesy platform and Nintendo kind of guy.
No, I haven't. No, but is this along the lines of a Conker's Bad Fur type situation?
It's not as funny as that.
Right.
Yeah, well, you're putting the show together, so you'll get to hear it. David Hartley says, okay, bear with me on this one. I would like very much for you fellas to play the DK rap from the pre-title sequence of Donkey Kong 64. I know it's awful. I know it's not particularly funny or witty or clever. I know it's mostly just really annoying and dated, but it's also kind of great. It symbolizes a time in gaming history when there was a bit more freedom to be silly, when gaming didn't take itself so seriously. where Rare were very much at the foreground of that spirit, while also being very much at the top of their game. The DK rap was born of the same daftness that hid bits of cheese in every level of Perfect Dark, that gave us Slappers Only in multiplayer GoldenEye, and of course that gave life to the great Mighty Pooh in Conker's Bad Fur Day. Donkey Kong 64 is a daft Looney Tune-like romp of a game, exuberant, colourful and vibrant, with a great heart for fun and a joy in its own ridiculous world. Composed by Grant Kirkhope, inspired by Run DMC, eternally hated by many, but well worth a revival for all those reasons and more. Come on, Sound of Play, take it to the fridge. And that we will, after me, Leon Cox, has thanked him, Jay Taylor, and yes, take it to the fridge.
Here we go.
Smile.